Hello, everyone. Oh, I think I might be a minute early. Let me close all these windows. I'm Coach Christy, everybody. Come on in. I see you. Can everybody hear me okay? Let me open my chat to see what y'all are talking about. Thumbs up. Thank you so much. I got a new microphone. Y'all should see this thing. Check it out. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? I feel like I should do a podcast now or something. All right, let me get us all set up here. Okay, let me change my name. Oh, it says I can change my appearance. I wonder what that button does. Let's not mess with that right now. Okay. All right, this is open coaching. So this is just a raise your hand format. I see a couple of you already have your hands raised, and we only get one of these life coaching calls a month where we get to talk about things outside of weight loss if we want to. So I'm not going to waste a lot of time chit-chatting because I want to give everybody a chance that wants to get some coaching tonight an opportunity to get that. So let's see who we've got with their hands raised. Oh, I forgot. I got to pull up my moderator today. Let me see. I don't even know who that is. It is Coach Heather. Oh, okay. Here we are. Promote to panelists. Coach Heather will be in the Q&A. So if you all have any questions or need links for anything or have any questions about the monthly challenge or anything that's going on, you can ask her in the Q&A. If there's anything that she thinks would be great for me to answer, she will give that to me. Also, when you're in the chat, make sure you're sending your message to everyone instead of just hosts and panelists. Otherwise, we won't be able to see what you're talking about. So, hi from Montana. Laura, is it must be freezing. Do you have snow? It's cold in Texas. Heather says, hi, everyone. It's Coach He Heather. She's supporting y'all in the chat. Hi from Dallas. Zoom user, change your chat to everyone instead of hosts and panelists. I'm in Fort Worth. Hi, Jean. Yes, we have Christy and Heather, the dynamic duo. New Jersey, we have in the house tonight. My son was born in New Jersey. How do we raise our hand? That's a great question. So, Shelley, you can change your chat to everyone because that question was just sent to me. So, what you'll do is you'll go down to your, let me see, let me find where it is on here. Where is it? Someone tell her how do they raise their hand because I don't have it. I don't have it. Is it under reactions? I think it's under reactions. Let me see. Let me go down and see. Yes, reactions. It is under reactions. So down at the bottom underneath, should be me. You can see my picture. There should be a little smiley face with a plus sign. If you click on that, you should be able to raise your hand that way. Let me know if you have any trouble. Hey, Janelle. Oh, gosh. I love seeing all you people in here. Okay, let's get started. Christy. Christy and Christy, we're talking tonight. I'm going to pull you right up. You have your hand raised. So here we go. Let's do it. Okay, Christy, you're coming on up. Okay, Christy, you are muted and we can't see you. So just unmute yourself and turn on your camera. Oh, there you are. Hey, Christy,
Hi.
how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for helping me.
Sure.
I would really sorry, I'm just going to turn my volume up. I would really like some help with the feelings I have about the panic I've got about going back to work and putting on weight. I'll give you a little bit of background. I've been a stay-at-home mum for 5 years. I finished my teaching degree last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And during 6 months, I put on 10 kilos.
Okay.
Ate my feelings. I was stressed. I drank my feelings. I've since lost that. But I've got this, I'm choosing to go back to work. I'm going back to work full time. And I am panicked about putting on weight when I go back to work.
Okay, so we're not panicked about putting on weight though, right? What are we panicked about?
Oh my goodness, now I'm getting all teary. Probably using, oh my goodness, sorry.
It's
Probably
okay.
food and alcohol to deal with stress, which will then cause the weight gain.
Yes.
Oh
Yes.
my goodness.
That's okay.
Sorry.
I wish I had a tissue to give you. I'm like handing one right
Oh
now. It's
my goodness, that was
okay.
so dramatic because in my brain knows it'll be fine. Like I spoke to my accountability group and I came up with a list of CVF meals, which is like my, in Australia, excuse my French, it's can't be fucked. When I come home and I don't want to eat to plan. So they're meals that I can substitute when I'm tired and stressed and I don't want to cook.
Okay.
I've started journaling, but I can't turn off the internal panic.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, right? Because you have 6 months. Wait a minute, let me get my timeline. You said 6 months ago you gained 10
I
kilos.
put on 10 kilos in 6 months while I was
Okay.
finishing my degree.
And then you took it off.
I'm now back to, what I was when I started the degree, but I still have another probably 10 to lose.
Okay, so it makes sense that your brain is panicked, that you're going into this new job, and that it's worried that you're going to do the same thing that you did in the past.
Yes.
So it's using your past to predict the possibility of what could happen coming up.
How can I turn the panic down? Like, I know the panic's not going to go, but I just want to be at the point where I'm not waking up during the night, like feeling fight or flight.
Tell me, Christy, what's different? What skills do you have now that maybe you didn't have when you put on the weight?
I have lots. I am now, I understand enough, which. So when I lost 40 kilos about 5 years ago, but I did Weight Watchers, and I still ate huge portions because I just ate 0 point food. So then when I was eating crap or feeding my feelings, I still needed that big portion to feel full. So now I don't need that anymore. So I know enough. I've got a great accountability group. I plan my foods. I do my assessments. Oh my goodness, I've got lots.
So you've got a lot of skills now that maybe you didn't have unlocked before.
Yes.
But what was the reason you put on the weight before? Just tell us all again.
I use alcohol and food to cope with stress.
Yes. Okay. So what are you doing differently now to cope with stress that you maybe weren't doing back then?
I'm attempting journaling.
Okay. Is that helping? Let's talk about that.
It is helping. I'm still very new at it, so I'm
Okay.
doing 5 minutes a day, and I'm going through the journaling pathway at the moment because I want to have a full skill set. I'm so
Awesome.
sorry. Can I just really quickly go get a tissue?
Of
I
course.
didn't have tissues in here. Oh, that's okay. I've got a handkerchief here.
Lovely.
Oh, it's going well. I'm doing 5 minutes a day. I don't know if I'm doing it correctly. But I'm giving it a good go and I'm kind of going through the four ends once I write down all my stuff. I think I'm probably focusing too much on the positive, like I'm trying to convince myself of stuff rather than writing what it actually is.
Okay, so there's maybe an area to explore to maybe just write down. There's tremendous power that happens when we write down what we're actually thinking and feeling instead of just going right to the unicorn stuff that we want to be thinking and feeling, right? So there's some power that can come in. Let me just see what it is that I'm anxious about and what I'm panicking about, right? So
Okay.
you are doing something different to manage your stress. So you're journaling and you're learning how to get better at that, and you're going to experiment with all kinds of journal prompts and like ways to do it. So that's amazing. So you already have one new skill that you're cultivating right now that's really giving you a little bit of help. What else are you doing to manage your stress?
Send a message to ask coaches, because I also notice I overeat when my daughter's emotions are really high and I'm trying to stay calm. So I've also got I call it the toilet technique, where I go to the bathroom, close the door, and take 10 deep breaths to calm myself down before I walk out. Because in the past, at 5 o'clock, we call it shit o'clock over here, when my daughter's tired and had enough and I'm cooking dinner, I quite often used to pour a glass of wine, because I could fit it in my points every day, where now I don't want to use that as like a natural Valium. So I've only drunk this month,
So you
which
do know what to do to help with your stress. You do have two things now.
okay. Deep breath.
Right?
Sorry, I'm writing this down.
Write it down. Yeah. And you can always watch this back too. This will be released. What's today? Tuesday. It'll be released on Friday. Yeah. So you've got two really good strategies already that you're utilizing, and you have evidence that are helping you manage your stress. Amazing. What else? Anything else that you do that helps with your managing of stress?
Not that I can think of.
So those are two really good strategies that are helping you now. Okay. So in addition to those, let me just give you one of my favorites.
That would be
Okay.
great.
So when we think about stress, we think about like what it feels like in our body. Like, can you tell in your physical body what stress feels like? Like, what does it feel like for you?
It feels like fight or flight, like my adrenaline's higher. I feel like sick inside almost, and like my brain's about to explode.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you can tell by being so connected to, like, that was a great description, by the way. So you clearly have a connection with what that feels like in your body. And when we are in that heightened state, like you said, fight or flight, right? It's really sometimes challenging for us to get our conscious brain co to come online, because when we're in that sort of like protective sense, like our body is going to go to try to protect us. I always like to think about like there's like a little person inside of me, and he can't see what's going on outside. He doesn't know what's happening in the world, but he senses our chemicals and he interprets them, right? So when we go into that stressed feeling, you like that's created with chemicals, right? So it just feels the chemicals and it's like, okay, something's happening on the outside. There's no windows. I can't see what it is. So I'm just going to assume she's in danger. And so it's going to go into protective mode. So trying to get your conscious brain to come online when your habit brain is trying to protect you is really challenging. So one of my favorite techniques for managing stress is actually techniques that can help you calm your body, like your nervous system, right? So that's going to require you to know when you're stressed. So sort of cultivate this connection, just checking in through with yourself throughout the day. Did you say you're going to be a teacher?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure there won't be any stress with that. It's going to be fun. No, I'm just
Oh,
kidding. No, I was a middle school teacher for years, and so was Coach Heather. Coach Heather was a teacher too. So we totally, can relate to you with that, right? So checking in with your body throughout your teaching day, I would love for you to sort of schedule at least one time during the day to sort of check in with yourself, and then practice some physical calming techniques. You said you have
okay.
one where you go into the bathroom and you do like 10 deep breaths.
Yes.
Okay. How does that work for you? Like, how does that feel when you do that?
It feels pretty good because it gives me that time to stop. I think at like four breaths, it does nothing, but by the end of the 10, it gives my brain time to stop thinking and just kind of calm down.
Now tell me what it feels like in your body when you're taking those deep breaths. Do
It
one now.
actually does
Take one
my
now. Let's
body.
do one together. Ready? Everybody on the call, let's take a big breath. Now, can
It
you
actually
imagine?
does bring it
Yes.
down.
Yes. Can you imagine if we did that 10 times, by the end of those 10 times, we would be in a more physically relaxed state. So when you said it gives my brain time, what's actually happening in there is that your body is relaxing and feeling safe again.
Okay.
Okay. Now, can you imagine if you're teaching, what grade are you teaching?
Year two.
The best. That is the
I know,
best grade,
we're
y'all. It
lucky.
is the best grade because by the time they get to third grade, they have to start like cursive writing and like math, and it gets real. School gets real in third grade, I feel like. Second grade, they're still so sweet and they love you and they're so kind. Anyway, so can you imagine if at least one time during the day you just said, hey, I'm just going to check in with myself really quick and let me manage some stress? Let me just take some deep breaths. Let me get my conscious brain to come online and think some things. Okay. So if you were to do that, imagine what your evenings might be like stress-wise if you sort of release that tension valve a little bit throughout the day.
Yeah, I love that idea. And I'm a planner. So the idea of scheduling something in, I've got control over that. I really like that's actually made me excited because it's something that's actionable I can do. Mm-hmm. So I might even do it even just before I come home as well as during the day. Mm-hmm. So I think you've just like mic dropped me and I'm like, oh, yes, I can do that. That's something to try. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're so welcome. And can we pay this forward a little bit? I would love for you to teach your kids how to do this.
Oh, 100%. That's a great idea, especially right? We live in the Pilbara and we're a little bit like it's hot and the kids come inside and they just go bonkers. So yeah, I might do that.
Yeah, well. Or like right before a test, if they're feeling a little bit anxious, right? Like normalizing their feelings too. Like I love when I coach teachers because I'm like, let's spread some of these techniques that we all wish we would have had when we were kids, right? Like nobody taught us how to do this stuff. So I love that. Yeah. So working on keeping your techniques going. Stop telling yourself you don't know what to do because you do know what to do. You're journaling. You're taking breaks out with your daughter, right? Go in the bathroom, take 10 breaths, right? It's very common for us to take on our children's emotions, right? Like we're mamas, we want to fix things, right? And so just kind of calming your physical body down so you then can think through things logically. So in the evening, when you come home, you will have sort of like let off a little bit of that steam a little bit at a time.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your help. I actually feel so much better.
I'm so glad. And I am so grateful to you and any of the other teachers out there that are still fighting the good fight with our education system. We are so grateful for you. So thank you for taking on that task for all of us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, love. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. I say have a great day because I think she is.
It's 8 a.m.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, let me move her back down. There she goes. Okay, yes. The other thing I love about the deep breathing technique, it's one of my favorites. There's others, by the way, if you have access to all the Pathways courses, all the extra bonus courses, if you're new and you're listening to this, you may not have access yet, but if you have access in the Trusting Your Body course, there is a toolkit. If you were to go to the website and just type in toolkit, it should pop up. There is instructions on how to do some EFT, which is tapping. There's the deep breathing technique. There's a few different options in there. Meditation is great. But that's been super helpful for me. The deep breathing one is my favorite because you can usually do that anywhere, right? And it doesn't, you know, nobody will really necessarily know that you're doing it. So it's very convenient. It's portable. I use it a lot. Okay. Zoom user, I keep having to choose everyone to stay in the group chat. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why it's not defaulting and staying on everyone. I'm not the most technologically savvy. Okay, Julianne, here she comes. Christy with a Y. I'm going to remember her. I'm going to find her. Hopefully she's on Facebook. I'm going to check on her, see how her day is going. All right. Let's see. Are you coming up? There is a lag. Nope. Here she is. Julianne, just unmute yourself and start your camera.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. What are we talking about today?
My judgments. I've done a lot of work in my marriage through counseling to really step away from judgment and to step into like seeing him and myself as being enough and just done a lot of things are so much better. But I'm noticing it's longstanding with my other close family members. So my sister, my mother, my father, the amount of judgment that I have of them, their choices, their health, then the judgment that I have when they don't want to hear about me and my accomplishments, and then the judgment that I have of myself for then judging myself for judging them.
Mm. Okay. Can we start there? Can we start there? Let's start with that one. Because I like to think like so many times there's like layers of an onion. And when anybody tells me that they have judgment over a thought, like, or judgment over the judgment over the judgment. We want to start at the outermost layer.
Okay.
Okay. So I just want to talk about your judgment of yourself for being judgy. Okay. How does it make total sense that you judge people? Like, how is that totally normal and make sense?
I guess it's human nature, I would imagine. My counselor has said, like, oh, you're the critic, you know, and not in a good or a bad, just that that's like my personality type, and has taught me how to look at that in a positive way. In many ways, it's
yeah, it served you.
It served me, right? It's helped me in my career as a student, whatever. So yeah, some humans have a personality type to be more critical. And I can imagine a lot of it could come from my upbringing.
Yeah. Okay. So all of those things, you're human. Humans are by nature judgmental. If we were to go back way in the day, right? Like if I was a cave woman trying to survive, I would constantly be surmising where I fit into the pack. I would be, am I faster than her? Am I faster than her? Right? Like I would always be judging where I fit. So we are all pre-wired to judge.
And I compare myself to my husband too, because he's not very judgmental.
Well, how about this? You have no idea if he's judgmental. He just may not verbalize it.
True.
Right? Like who knows? Who knows? Right? But yeah, you're human. Any characteristic that you have is normal. Because it is, right? It just is. So judging yourself for being judgy is like judging yourself for having the most adorable short brown haircut I've ever seen. I'm just kidding. But it's like judging for yourself for having brown hair or needing glasses. It just is. You are a critical person. It has served you and you are human. It is completely unnecessary to judge yourself, right? It's like judging yourself for wearing a size 10 shoe, which I do. And I used to judge myself about that. Who has big feet? Only big fat people have big feet. This is the kind of step I would say, right? Like it's ridiculous, right? It just is. This is just thoughts that you have. And these judgmental thoughts, I'm going to tell you a little scenario. Some of you all in the chat may be able to relate to this. Okay. So one of my favorite things to do is to go to the airport. Why? What's at the airport? People, right? And I get there early and I like to sit and I just like to watch people. Now, Julianne, what kinds of thoughts do you think I am just automatically thinking about the people?
Just probably very judgmental thoughts about the way that they're different from you.
Yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, did she even look in the mirror before she left with that outfit on? Why is she letting her kid act like that? What a brat. I would never do that. Like, look at that. Oh, she's eating that. I wouldn't eat that before I got on a plane. Of course. Right? Those are the thoughts that I think. I used to make this a big deal too, by the way. I used to be like, I am such a bitch. Like, oh my God, I'm so mean. Right? But the truth is, I wasn't choosing those thoughts. I wasn't sitting there going, okay, let's sit down and judge the people. Let's only think bad things. Let's find all the things that are wrong with them. No, I'm just sitting down and I'm just watching the people. These are the thoughts that just automatically come up from my habit brain that I have no control over. And where did they come from? I don't know. Maybe my mom was judgy. And so I just mirror that. I mean, who knows, right? But here's how I know it's not a bad thing and it's not who I am. And I don't have to judge myself for being judgy. I would never walk up to that lady and say that. I would never do that, right? Because that's who I am, right? Okay. So can we peel that layer off?
Yes.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with you for being judgy. Or at least you're not alone. You're with me. We're both judgy people, right?
I guess it's just like, why does it hurt and feel so much ickier when it comes to your family? Mm. Like I can let it go so much easier when it's not the people that are closest to me.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense too, right? Like what kind of relationship were you taught to have with your family?
Oh boy. Yes, I was taught to be self-sufficient. And maybe inadvertently taught to just kind of be quiet and do my own thing and take care of myself because my sister was such a handful.
Okay. And when you're judging people, is that what you're doing? Are you being self-sufficient and staying in your own lane?
No.
Right. So it feels bad because you think you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So let me ask you this. Give me a judgment if you don't mind, if you want to share, if you don't want to, that's okay. But give me a judgment, something that you have. You don't have to tell me who it's about because maybe they'll hear this, but give me a judgment that you might have had about somebody in your family that you don't feel good about.
About the three of them, they're so unhealthy and they refuse to do anything about it, even though
Okay.
they're doing it in their own way, and that's not really true, but
Okay. So let me ask you this. Is that judgment? Why are you deeming that as judgment?
I guess because the next thought that comes along with that is I should help them. I should try to fix that for them.
And that's judgment?
And then or maybe the judgment is they should be doing it differently.
They should be doing it differently. And
Yeah.
you feel bad that you think that thought.
Yeah, because I want to just love them for who they are and all the unicorns and butterflies and
Okay. So you want to love them for who they are. So if you want to love somebody for who they are, how do we love people?
accepting them, I think.
How do you do that? Like, give me a logistical thing. Literally, like Julianne, if you were like, hey, Christy, I want you to go accept your family. Like, how do I do that? Julianne, what do I do today? Like, right now, what am I supposed to do? Okay, I'm going to
Because
help
I've been, what I do is I pull away and then I don't practice. Yeah.
You write about why and how to accept them. You journal about how are they doing the best that they can? What do I love about them just the way they are? You journal about accepting thoughts.
Yeah.
You show your brain, this is how I want to think. It's not how I'm currently thinking. I have this thought. They should be doing it this way. Right? And of course, that comes from the most loving place. It sounds like you really want them to be healthy. It sounds like you feel like you have some great solutions. It sounds like you wish that they would maybe try some of them, right? But then there's also this other side of you that you said, I just want to love them for who they are. And so, how can I do that? How can I love them for exactly who they are? And then you write about that. This is what I want to think about this person and the way she's choosing to live her life.
Right.
But again, dropping the judgment about you thinking those things about your family, that's got to happen first. It's normal to judge people. And it sounds like a lot of your judgment is coming from love,
For sure.
at least in this particular case.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's coming from a place of like, it's a, at least with my parents, it's a huge transition right now between the parents that they were to me once and the parents that they are now. That doesn't feel like I have parents anymore. Like feel I feel like we're in this big transitionary period, and I'm grieving the loss of the parents. Probably the not so great parents that I do have, though, or this idea of what parents should be. And now I'm kind of more of the stepping in as more of the parent, and I don't want that role.
So I'm not sure I understand the dynamic here.
Yeah.
So
Go ahead.
tell me a little bit about that.
Mom's very, very sick with
Okay.
cancer. She's doesn't have cancer now, but she's lost the use of one of her legs, and they just sold the family home and moved to a condo closer to us. And
Okay.
dad has multiple chronic illnesses and cognitive decline on both, with both of them, and just.
And so your thoughts, your judgmental thoughts are about them and how they should be taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me, right? That's coming from a caring place. Why do you need them to take care of themselves?
I suppose it's because I'm looking for, I think because the way that I want to connect with them would be through them being more active. And I don't want to just go visit and sit in their living room and twiddle my thumbs. I want them to come to my son's basketball games or baseball games. I want to, like, they just moved to our town. I would love to share our town with them and, like, bring my mom to the senior center. Or, like, I like doing activities and they're not in an active place at all. And so I get the uncomfies when I'm like, well, it's time to go visit. Go sit in the dark
So
condo.
the fact that they don't or don't want to or can't or unable to do these things with you feel what about that?
That if they could figure out how to take care of themselves better, that they could live a life rather than
But oh no, time out,
live
time out.
alive.
They are
Oh.
living a life.
Right.
They are living a life. What you're saying, they could live a life that I wish they would live. So you could feel what? Give me a one word feeling.
Connected.
Connected. Look at this circle we just drew here, right? We started out with just general judginess. And now we see that your judgment of this particular case with your parents is coming from a place of caring and wanting them to do things differently so that you can feel connected. So your judgment is the mechanism that you've been using to feel connected. It's not really working for you, right?
No.
So, how could we feel connected to mom and dad exactly as they are?
That could use some brainstorming.
So, connection is a feeling that we create with our thinking. Right. So if I'm thinking, I'm really connected to my mom today, here's the things that I've been thinking about her.
What I just started to think about is maybe a first step would be to think about how somebody who's not me might be able to think about them. Like, somebody who's not me might be like, oh my God, my parents are still alive. They live right down the street. It is so awesome that I could go pop in anytime.
Gratitude is a great antidote to disappointment, right? Like, one of my clients was talking about, she's so annoyed with the snow. Like, she has snow, like, she can't leave her house and like she's all snowed in and she's really annoyed by all that. She's very disappointed that she can't get out and do her things. And so she and I were talking about, like, wow, but aren't you lucky that you have a home and you have heat and you have food in your cabinets? And she was like, yeah, that's true. And all of a sudden, the snow became less of a burden. Yeah, so I love that. I that's a great idea. Look at you coming up with ways, right? Like, how would someone else think about their parents, right? And if you wanted to stay connected and be more connected to your parents, accepting them exactly as they are, coming up with ways I could do that, that still gets my need met of connection with my parents, but meets them exactly the way they are, right? Because it is, I hate this saying, but I'm about to say it. It is what it is. I hate that saying. I hate that. But it is what it is, right? Like they are who they are. And I know you have these desires that come from a really loving place, right? But these desires that come from your loving place are so you get to feel something.
Right.
Okay. And you can create that feeling without them changing at all, which is amazing because that means you're in charge, right?
And I have moments of it where I find the new thinking, and some days it's there. And then other days it just feels so pervasively the opposite. And
yeah.
Right, it's a practice. Mm-hmm. And I can picture myself, I've been very, very resistant to using the, I use one of the old planner sheets and it asks you, what are you grateful for? And I've been very resistant to write anything about my parents because I'm like it's not like
nothing because they're not acting how I want them to act.
Exactly. So I can tweak that, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be what I think right now, but maybe what somebody could think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And all of this work, right? Because sometimes we get resistant to like accepting people as they are because we think like it's letting them off the hook or it's letting them, you know, but this is a gift you're giving to yourself. This has nothing to do with them, right? This is you creating love and connection for yourself. You're not giving up on them, you know, you're not going to let them just, you know, fall away or anything like that. This is just you meeting them where they are. And I just want to throw this out there, but you cultivating this connection with them gives you more access to them emotionally. Right? Yeah. And you are right that this is not a mindset or a line of thinking that's going to come up naturally every day. This is going to be something you have to choose on purpose. So that means really, really working at this, you know, 5 minutes a day in your journal. This is what I love about my parents. This is how I'm going to feel connected to my parents today. I'm going to think these things about my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm thinking about how to do the same for my sister who comes at me with some really nasty things sometimes, also lives down the street, also has some wonderful qualities, but it can be rough to find the love. And
yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, here's just a sort of a generic little thing that I like to think when I see people, I mean, because believe you me, I got some people in my life that I'm just like, you are filled with hatred, like just, you know, that's really evidence of what's going on inside of them. And I always try to think about how painful that must be for them, that it comes out like that, right? Like her acting like that or anybody acting like that has everything to do with something that's going on inside of them and less to do with what's happening to me.
And I end up with this guilt about the need to spend time with them. And I'm in this, and when I'm in this not good place, I feel more guilty about I should be spending more time. I should be calling. I should be caring.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder where can that, will that guilt go?
Okay. I'd like for you to just switch the wording on that and say, I want to be spending more time with them. I want to be calling more. I want to learn how to create desire for that.
Okay.
Like we don't should and no BS on anything, whether it be weight loss, whether it be life. It's I choose to, I want to. How can I cultivate that mindset to create that desire?
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about that, right? Like if you want to feel, like if the do line, we talk about the think, feel, do cycle. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts create our feelings, which leads to our actions.
Yes.
If we want the do line to look like call my mother, how would you have to feel in order to have desire to do that? Maybe connected, maybe loving, maybe interested,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is. And then if you want to do it from that positive feeling place, we have to have thoughts that create that feeling, right? So if you want to call your mom from a place of wanting connection, then we have to think connected thoughts on purpose.
and not have the expectation that they're going to have those thoughts back to
Right. And you can keep those expectations if you want, but I mean, honestly, expectations are just an invitation to disappointment, right? And I'm not saying people always disappoint us, but if we continue to have expectations, we set ourselves up for disappointment because people will be, here we go again. It is what it is. They are who they are, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with having expectations, right? But you do set yourself up for disappointment because if they are not showing up the way you want them to be, and you continue to have that expectation of them, in a weird kind of way, you're causing your own pain. Right? Yeah. I know, right? So again, I go back to you letting go and meeting them where they are is a gift to yourself. Right? It doesn't have anything to do with them. Acceptance of people, how they are, is a gift to yourself. It's not letting people get away with stuff. Honestly, it's peace for you and love.
And why do I have this need for them or anybody to want to know about me? And well, I guess that's human too,
Sure. Who doesn't love an atta girl? I mean, that feels good, right? Right? And listen, the dynamic between kids and parents, that's obvious, right? We spend our entire childhood chasing approval from our parents, from teachers. And then when you get into middle school, it's about your friends and whatever, you know? It's always about other people. And then we become adults and we're supposed to know how to give ourselves approval. Well, that's something we have to learn. You're seeking it from your parents because you like approval and you want approval. So give it to yourself. Give the kudos to yourself on purpose. What are you wanting your parents to cheerlead you for? Just give me one thing.
I found nutrition response testing and started taking nutritional supplements and was able to get off of my medication for PMDD. And I'm like, this is freaking amazing.
Okay. How much are you saying that to yourself? How much are you saying, oh my God, I am so proud of myself for being open to trying this. I am so proud that I stuck with it. I am so proud that I didn't see the medication was like, hell no. I'm so proud that I did the research. Look how smart I am. Like, look at
I
me.
do actually. My accountability partner is on here, and she would attest that she's seen my assessments, and I totally pump myself up. And I'm like, why do I still need it
You
from
don't listen, listen.
for
I want
thinking?
to ask you, do you really need it or do you just wish you had it? There's nothing wrong with being disappointed that they're not saying something about that. That's fine. I'm disappointed a lot. That's different than I need it.
Because I'm still doing it anyway without their approval or
Yeah.
approval.
And so maybe that's the level up thought. It's like, it's not that I need it, I just wish I had it.
And it's okay to be disappointed if it's not there.
Yeah, sure. Of course. When I like feel like I look smoking hot and my husband doesn't say anything, oh, I'm disappointed. Right? But it doesn't mean that I don't think I'm smoking hot. It just means he didn't notice and he didn't say anything. So it's my job to say it to myself. Right? Yeah.
So I need to practice that more
Yeah.
in those
Yeah.
moments.
Hell, tell them how proud you are of yourself. Model it.
Instead of coming from a place of, I'm going to tell them this because I think that they should do it too.
No, share your
No.
pride with people, just like you do your accountability group. Share it with them. I'm so proud of myself for sticking through this. This has been so helpful for me.
Cool.
Cool.
It's
Coaching is cool. I like
awesome.
that. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Thank you,
Okay.
Christy.
You're so welcome. It was great to meet you. You're adorable. Lots of people were saying they love your glasses.
Ah, thanks, everybody.
All right, babe. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, relationships with our parents. Tricky, tricky, tricky. Okay. Shelly with an EY. Here we go. How's everybody doing? We hanging in. Here comes Shelly. Everybody's giving me the thumbs up. I like it. All right, Shelly, unmute and turn on your camera so we can see your beautiful face. I'm going to ask her to unmute. Let's see.
Thank you, because I didn't know how to do that.
It's okay, Shelly. I think now you just need to turn on your camera. Let's see. Ask to start video. I can ask you that too. I just asked you.
All right. Hang on a second. Let's see.
Hey, goodbye, see everybody. You. Goodbye, everyone.
My voice. Hello.
Hello.
So this what is kind of crazy because okay. that was my partner. Julianne and I are accountability partners.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is going to be perfect. The greatest story to tell.
Okay.
Are you going somewhere that you're going to sit down?
I won't sit, but I got to get some privacy.
Okay. Yeah. Just as long as you can be still so we don't make everyone yes, sick with your movement. Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
So I've been a member for a while and okay. I did really well in the beginning.
Okay.
And actually I remember finding
Tell me what really well means. Can I ask you that real quick?
I was planning, I was assessing, I was going through the modules, I was, you know, working the program. And I was
so planning, assessing, going through the modules. Were you right. working on doable hunger? Stopping it enough, waiting for hunger?
So when I started, it was 2 to 2.
Oh yeah.
Which mm-hmm. is actually a little easier for my brain, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was sort
okay.
of doing that.
So like, let me time out. Cause anybody that's yeah. listening, 2 to 2 is the old way Sorry. We used to measure. No, it's okay. I just want to explain for anybody that's listening to this in the future. It was an old way that we used to do hunger and enough, but it's essentially the same thing. Okay. Go ahead. So you like that scale better. That's great. You can keep using
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It was, yeah. So, mm-hmm. and I don't know, you know, I guess life happened. And uh-huh. like, I was going to say, I remember. Okay.
What do you mean life happened? Like what happened?
I'm not sure. It was a while back now. Right. So, but I remember watching and hearing Corinne and hearing the program and thinking, oh my gosh, this is it. Mm-hmm. I have finally found something.
The magic bullet.
Yes. The reasonable, and mm-hmm. now I feel like, well, there's part of my brain that knows that was truth for me, but mm-hmm. then I still have the other part of my brain that mm-hmm. wants to go back to, but I want to lose it really fast. And if I do this, I'll lose it quicker. There mm-hmm. are some things that I have learned, you know, that I think I've, you know, developed a gluten sensitivity. So if I eat a lot, like I have some pain. So mm-hmm. I probably need to watch that, but it wouldn't mm-hmm. be the same thing. It wouldn't necessarily be, oh, because I want to lose weight real fast. But so I'm having trouble getting back to trusting the plan, trusting myself to work the plan and letting it be and go at its pace and to get me where I need to go. Like, to get excited again. And well, and I know that you're supposed to do it so you can trust yourself. And that's where I want to be.
Okay. Okay. Well, how does it make sense that you don't trust yourself right now?
Because, you know, I every day say, oh, okay, I'm going to eat like this and this is what's going to be on my plan. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get to some point of the day and be like, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll start that part tomorrow. Let me finish this that's in my yeah. fridge that wasn't on my plan so that tomorrow mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about it. That kind of stuff.
Okay. So I want you to see that. Remember when I asked you, you said, and then just life happened. Remember you said that? And I yes. said, well, wait, what happened? And you're like, I don't know. It was so long ago, but something yeah. happened. And listen, we don't even have to actually necessarily dredge that up. I would love for you to actually see if you can trace it back in your journal. Like what happened? If I look back, when did I stop? Because you said, I was really good in the beginning and I stopped you and I said, what does really good mean? Because I'm trying to, I want you to see the actions that I was doing that equaled in my mind really good. right? Because really good means nothing, right? It means nothing. I want to know exactly what you were doing that you totaled up as being really good. You were planning. You were assessing.
Yes.
You were whatever else you were doing.
I was exercising.
Exercising. You were doing doable hunger.
Yes.
Right. You were doing these things.
Working so it's getting all the water in. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then something happened. I don't know what. Perhaps I'm just going to throw out some options. Some kind of life event. Perhaps the scale bumped up a few weeks in a row. And then you had a lot of thoughts about that and you sort of gave up because you're thinking it's not working and why bother? Whatever. Those are just a couple of options, but it doesn't even matter. Something happened and you stopped doing those things for whatever reason. And now you think you need that shiny new feeling to start doing those things again. But you don't. You don't need to feel like you did when you first joined PNP, now no BS, right? And the truth is you can't recreate that. That's just normal. Like it is, are you married?
Yes.
You have a partner? Okay. I want you to think about how you felt when you first started dating him or her. Oh my God, right?
Oh yeah. Oh
like
yeah.
Kissing for hours and staying on the phone for hours, watching TV, you know, all those things, butterflies when they walked into the room. Do you have those now?
Sometimes,
right?
Yeah.
But probably
yeah,
not
sometimes.
Quite the same.
Yeah, no, it is definitely not the same. No. Yeah.
It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. But I want you to think back into your diet history. Okay. If your diet history is a little like mine, which most of our diet histories are very common, right? Like they're littered with starts and stops, right?
Yeah.
Because we get addicted to that motivational feeling we get when something is new. That is what attracts us. It's that, oh my God, this is the one. And we're so, that makes us feel so good. We're like, I'm sure of it. And we get addicted to that. We get addicted to that feeling because we associate that feeling with a requirement to lose weight, but it's not because we already know what the requirements are. Make a plan, assess, doable hunger. Exercise is not one of them, but it was probably one of the things that was making you feel good because you had good thoughts about yourself when you were doing it. So that's all you have to have. Stop waiting for the new feeling. Stop waiting to feel in love with no BS again. Just do the things. Just do. And I don't give a shit if you do all of the things starting tomorrow or one of the things.
Right.
You're going to have to build back up evidence that it's the things, it's not the feelings, right? You can get up tomorrow, make a plan. Because listen, Shelly, you better know that I'm going to be chasing you down in Facebook because now you've been on this call and this is about doing the basics tomorrow. This is about signing up to do the basics. And Julianne, if you are still on this call, you better call her out if she doesn't make a plan tomorrow because it starts with making a plan. Then I want you to assess. You don't have to do it all tomorrow, but that needs to be the next thing in line for you.
Okay.
Right? And then we'll work on waiting for hunger. And then we'll work on stopping it enough. If we need to fold them in one at a time, that's fine. We'll do that. We will build back the person you were when you were doing it before, but you don't have to wait for the motivation to do the things.
Okay.
Because motivation is a funny thing, right? We think we have to be motivated to do something, but actually taking action creates thinking that motivates us to keep going.
Absolutely.
So you just have to be brave enough and committed enough to do the first thing. An object in motion will stay in motion. So just get in motion.
Okay.
Y'all see her name? Shelly, are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Everybody on this call, there is 207 people on this call right now that are going to be like, Shelly, what's your plan, bitch?
Yep, gotcha. It'll be done.
That's it.
Yes.
And then, but wait, there's another piece to this, okay?
Yeah.
Tomorrow when you make your plan, your brain is going to say some shit. What's your brain going to say tomorrow when you make your plan?
Well, my brain will probably say, fine, make a plan, but make it doing the other diets that you think are going to work.
Okay. And you're going to say,
No, I'm going to make a doable plan.
I'm doing this how I was doing it when I started.
I
That's
remember
what I'm
going to
doing.
the group. I remember going to the grocery store, and I know I can't recreate those feelings, but it helps me remind me. Like, I remember going to the grocery store and being like, what do you mean? I can buy anything and I can eat whatever I want as long as I'm not overeating. And I was almost stumped, like, okay, I'll have to come back and do this again because I kind of got overwhelmed. And so anyway, yeah.
Strip it down, right? If you are complicating the basics right now because you are trying to Franken diet right now, because you're trying to like pull in all these things, I want you to just strip it down to the basics. Just come on back, right? If you need like sort of a little bit more of a what's the word I'm looking for? Sorry, it's late, y'all. I've been coaching. It's if you need more of a like a plan, like a sort of a layout, go back and do the 12-week workshop that Corinne did on the 20, whatever it was. I can't remember. The end of December, she on the website, there's a replay of the 12-week workshop. And she it's just the basics. It's stripping it down. It's very simple. It's an outline for you. I don't think you need that. I think tomorrow you just need to make a plan. But if you're feeling like I need a little bit more of a focus, check that out, because it's a really good. I felt like when I did it, I was like, this is bringing me back to my early days. Because we all do this, we all complicate it a little bit. We all complicate the basics. We like to like put a bunch of caveats and asterisks and all kinds of shit on there. And truly, when I was doing OBS in the beginning, it was the basics. I truly was just letting it be that simple. And then I started complicating it, because I gained a little bit. And it's like, oh, let me start, I'm losing it. No, okay. So tomorrow you're making a plan.
I
Your
am.
brain is going to say some shit. This is what we should plan. Nope, I'm doing it how I was doing it in the beginning. Your brain is going to say, yeah, but you were planning, assessing, journaling, thought work, gym, blah, blah, blah. It's going to say all these things. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm starting with the plan. That stuff is going to come. And I promise you, Shelly, it's not going to take nearly the time to get all of those balls up in the air again as it did the first time. Okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I can't wait to see what your plan is tomorrow. All
Okie doke.
right. Have a fabulous night.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. All right.
Oh, I don't know how to sign off either.
I'll do
So,
it. I'll do you.
okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, bud. Okay. So I just want to say we just have a couple minutes left. Like, this is such a common, we see this a lot in Ask Coaches. I know Heather can attest. It's, I was doing so good and then I fell off and now I don't know how to get back on. And most of the time, the problem is we think we have to feel motivated. We think we have to be ready. And really, all that requires is for you to go back and say, what was I doing that was so good? And then just do those things. Once you're in motion, you'll just stay in motion. Okay. Let your brain say all the things like, this isn't going to be good enough. You might fail again, blah, 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 blah. Nope. Here's what I'm doing today. Today, I'm making a plan. Then I will assess. I'll do my best to wait for hunger. I'll do my best to hear my enough cues and honor them. I'll be sure to get in some water and I'm taking my ass to bed, which I will be doing very shortly. Okay, everybody, thanks for coming tonight. We have these calls once a month, so there'll be another one in February. Thanks, Heather. Talk to y'all later.